Today on Real Radio.
It's not necessarily wrong to be a doubter if you get an answer to put down your doubt. It is wrong to be a doubter and let it lay that way until your doubt becomes unbelief. That's wrong. Gideon was not a man of unbelief.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. Now, you may have heard the term, putting a fleece before the Lord. Well, this comes from the portion of Scripture we're looking at, Judges chapter 6 and verses 33 through 40. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Using Your Faith.
Your faith is to be a faith that is to be used. Your faith is to be active. Faith was designed to be used. It was never given by God to be put on the shelf. Faith doesn't work that way. Faith cannot sit silent. Faith cannot be complacent. And in fact, complacency and apathy and lethargy and all these things that we hear about and pray that it never comes upon us are things that attack faith. Faith is something that as a believer, we come to know God and put our faith in Him. But from that moment on, we begin a brand new life with God exercising faith. And from Gideon, we're going to learn a little bit more about what dynamic, healthy Christian faith is as we use our faith. And so, as you're getting ready to take some notes here tonight, jot it down if you would, some background scriptures. James tells us, James the man of faith, tells us in James chapter 2, verse 17, he said, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That is, faith would be dead without works. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God and you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works, James says, is dead? Then Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, above all, that is above all of our defensive weapons as a Christian, as he speaks about the armor of God upon a believer, he says, above all, taking the shield of, what is it? Faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked ones. So we know that faith is the number one shield to combat against satanic attack. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so the book of Hebrews provides a list of men and women. If you were to keep reading that great book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, it provides a great, great list of men and women who were mighty in faith and by faith and with faith in their lives. And your faith needs to be mighty. You say, Jack, how can my faith be mighty? Your faith must be mighty because, number one, God is mighty. He's never changed. The Bible has never changed. God's word is true. And then also, that faith that you and I have, we can build upon it, grow it, and strengthen it by the word of God. Our faith should be growing day by day. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 says, and what more shall we say? This is regarding men and women of faith. For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and of Samuel and of the prophets who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong and became valiant in battle and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. So tonight we look at this small section of Gideon's life, and he qualifies, as we shall see, for one that is listed in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of those of the lifestyles of the righteous and faithful. Judges chapter 6, verse 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But, I love that, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet, and the Abzarites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout all of Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. So Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. And if there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on the ground all about, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And so it was, when he arose early the next day and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just one more. Let me test, I pray, just one more with the fleece. Now let the dry ground only be, and on all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew all around on the ground. A lot of people know this portion of Scripture as a mockery, in a sense, as a rebuke against Gideon himself, the very star of our story tonight, because of his wanting to know God's will in his life, laid out the fleece and asked God to do these two opposite things in two separate prayer requests to bring about a sure answer. And people have mocked him for this. They, in my opinion, should not mock him for this. I thank God for Gideon. He wants to know exactly what he would be doing for God. What could be wrong with that? What could be wrong with Gideon wanting to discern and know certainly what the will of God is for his life? I think it's a great thing. You might say, well, isn't he the doubter? Isn't he the one who kept asking? And, well, wait a minute, what about Thomas? Thomas was a doubter. It's not necessarily wrong to be a doubter if you get an answer to put down your doubt. It is wrong to be a doubter and let it lay that way until your doubt becomes unbelief. That's wrong. Gideon was not a man of unbelief. He doubted about, am I hearing from God or not? I think that's a great thing, because he found out. And look, let's be honest. If we would only be honest, it's exactly what goes on with your life and my life. That when God speaks to us, you know, he speaks and sometimes as in such a still, small voice that we can't discern, was that him? Was it Satan? Was it me? Was it my neighbor yelling from across the street? Who was that? And there are times, and I'm sure it's happened in your life, it's happened several times in my life, that when God speaks, it's so clear. And then there's times when it's not so clear. What do we do in situations like that? What about you tonight? You're seeking the Lord and trying to get an answer, and yet an answer has not yet come. What do you do? This Bible study is good for us, for all of us who want to discern the heart and the will and the direction of God. Point number one in our study tonight is this. Using your faith, number one, verses 33 to 35, is applying faith to the word of the Lord. Applying faith to the word of the Lord. How do you read the Bible when you pick it up? That's what we're going to be learning about. When you pick up the Bible, what do you do with it? Do you just read it? Do you just do your discipleship time, as it were, your devotional reading? You read it, you look at the watch, you know, or the clock, and you grab your coffee and you run out to the car and listen, you've only read the Bible and you haven't taken it in. When you read the Bible and you apply faith to the reading of the Word of God, what does that mean? It means that what you read, you are saying, God, put this to work in my life. I want faith to be alive in my life. And so when we open the Bible, we want to pray this way, oh God, cause me to apply your word in faith. And we do that, number one, learning from Gideon this way. To believe in him, that is the Lord, when he speaks. To believe in him. Gideon's challenge was to hear and to understand, to discern the voice of the Lord. And so when it says in verses 33 and 34, it gives the list of the Midianites and the Amalekites. These are the bad guys that had been attacking Israel. You know that. And had them under control for some nearly 7 years. But now, in our last study together, Gideon rose up, remember, and he was told by the Lord to go tear down the altar of Baal and Ashtaroth and knock it down. and to take a stand to remove the pagan altars from the land of these foreign gods. And so he did that. But in verse 34, it says here, but, that is in contradiction or opposition to the enemy's assembling an attack. The enemy's looking bad. He's looking big. He's saying mean things. We're going to kill Gideon. What do you do with that? You listen to the Lord. And here's what the Lord says. Here's what the scripture says, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. That is the answer for our lives. It is the answer for every epoch of time, every generation of believers, that the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, would be upon our lives. Church, remember this. Gideon went from the threshing floor last week, hiding out in the wine press, to a tremendous moment where God's going to use him powerfully. And it's very exciting to see. God's word is sure, and Gideon's going to find that out. Listen, his word is immovable. In Jude chapter 1, verse 20, the book of Jude, verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, building yourself up, the word means to stack, to mount up, to lay up, faith upon faith upon faith in the word of God. When the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, what can you expect to happen in his life? The same thing that you can expect to happen in your life. In my life, when the Spirit of God comes upon us, we will be people of the Word of God and dependent upon the Spirit of God. It will be the Spirit of God that will come upon us. God will never send you out to do a job without giving you the tools. And in this case, the tool is the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of God uses the command of God, the Word of God. Now, of course, Gideon didn't have a Bible to put in his backpack that day. But the Holy Spirit used the expressed will of God, the Word of God. God said, Gideon, do this. And the Holy Spirit came upon him to see to it that that would be a reality in Gideon's life. And in Romans chapter 10, you know this verse, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, talks about faith. And it's the greatest thing that you and I can hear tonight about faith, is that faith comes by hearing. That is what's going on right now with us. And hearing by the Word of God. Whenever you and I listen to a Bible verse, a Bible study, when we read the Word of God, when we hear it read, our faith grows. It is a supernatural act of God by the Holy Spirit coming upon our lives. And so Gideon, and our challenge is, if we're going to apply faith to the Word of the Lord, we need to believe in Him and what He speaks. And also this, number two, is to obey Him in what He has asked of us to do, to obey Him in what He has asked. Note this. Then he, Gideon, blew the trumpet, and the Abzarites gathered behind him, and he sent messengers throughout all of Manasseh. That's Gideon's tribe. Remember, they were a weak tribe, little tribe? And Gideon says, I'm not only from a weak little tribe, I'm the weakest guy in the weakest little tribe and the weakest family within the tribe. But Gideon's now blowing a trumpet. I think this is awesome. Did you catch that? He's now blowing a trumpet after he has torn down the altar of the pagan gods. A man who went from hiding in the threshing, coming down from the threshing floor into the wine press to thresh his wheat. He was hiding, and now he's on top blowing the trumpet. How can that be? Because the Spirit of God came upon him. Christian, when was the last time you asked God to baptize you, fill you, overwhelm you, come upon you? I don't care what term you use. When was the last time you found yourself crying out to God and saying, Lord, I must have your power. I'm dependent upon you. Let me tell you, you do that and you will succeed in spiritual things. Your Christianity will flourish if you are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it is the Spirit of God that will cause us, like Gideon, to blow the trumpet. It's the Spirit of God that will help us to obey God in what He's asked us to do. There's a misquoted and misunderstood verse. You've heard it so many times in Matthew 17. We talk about faith here and obeying God. In Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed. And I don't know, I've read that so many times and got discouraged. Man, I must not even have the faith of a mustard seed, so small. He says, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. You ever heard that verse? You know that verse. When you read that verse, you get discouraged because I don't have that kind of faith. And as you look at that verse and take it right off the page, you think, well, what's wrong with me? But here's the key to that verse. It's the key to what Gideon's life is showing us tonight. God told Gideon to do something. Church, are you listening? Watch this. God told Gideon, do this. Gideon is going to embark upon doing that thing. If God would have told Gideon, say to this mountain, get up and go over there, then the burden of action would have been upon Gideon, not God. Watch me, listen, hang on. God says, do this thing, and now Gideon is to obey what the Lord has said or asked of him to do. We're not to debate it with God. I know we debate it. Don't we debate it? We debate with God. He doesn't want our opinion. He doesn't want to guess or have us guess about it. He doesn't want us to have our input into it. God says, I want you, Jack, to do this thing. And we're to do that in obedience to him because that's what he's asked us to do. Gideon responds as a hero in faith because he obeys what God says to do. Yes, he tests the water, but he wants to be sure. If God would tell Gideon, move the mountain, Gideon's responsibility now is to get up and move the mountain. If God says to you and I, Jack, you know, Karen, Mike, Susie, Roy, don't move the mountain. I want you to go and do this thing, whatever it is. Church, fill it in the blank of your life. What is it in your life that the Lord has been telling you to do and you're not doing it because you're afraid you're going to flop? You can't do that. Your input's not important. Mine is not important. God says, Jack, do this. I am to do it and do it joyfully unto the Lord. But Jack, it's impossible. Of course it's impossible. It's impossible, but not with the Lord. See, again, don't let that verse in Matthew any more discourage you. Because if God were to tell you to go move a mountain, you're to obey him and go do it. See, we worry about the things that God didn't tell us to do. Oh, that'll never happen. How could that be? I don't believe it. Well, stop worrying about those things. Do what God has told you to do, and you will see, in a sense, mountains be moved. Maybe God is saying to you, I want you to step up and get moving in a ministry in this direction or that direction or whatever it might be. What's he saying to you? Do that thing. Don't sit and bicker. Don't sit and argue. Don't sit and debate with him about it. Go do it. And you'll see the impossible become possible because God will be the one doing it. Faith is not used to do what we want. It is used to enable us to do what God wants. I'm going to say that again. Faith is not used to do what we want. It is used to enable us to do what God wants. Do you think that's a good quote? I hope so, because I made it up today. I like that one. The Lord laid that on my heart. Jack, faith is not used to do whatever you want, Jack. The truth of the matter is faith, it's used to enable us to do what God wants us to do. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, they should have grown up and moved on. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only in milk, that is spiritual foundational food, not deeper food, is unskilled in the word of righteousness, and he is just a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason, here it is, of use, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. That's a strong believer. Thirdly, under this first point, applying faith to the word of the Lord is to rest in what God has said to us, to rest in what he has said. Now, the Bible says here to us that all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him, that he also sent out messengers to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali. These are the other tribes, and they came and they met him. God is doing amazing work. You guys, this guy goes from hiding out to being the leader now. You know what? Is that true in your life? Has God done that in your life? I mean, you don't need to confess anything here today, but the truth of the matter is, I've never read anywhere, at any time, any place, that there are born leaders. There are no such thing as born leaders. Leaders are made. They're made when a leader, as it were, in embryo, a leader, as it were, infantile, is growing up. And how does a leader grow up? By following a leader. The amazing thing is you will become like the leader you're following. Your children will become like you. And then when we graduate to other things, you will become like those you are following. It may be that you're mimicking a corporate leader that you know of, or maybe it's a community leader, or maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood, highly respected, or somebody that is almost a hero in exploits for greatness. Maybe it's Abraham Lincoln. I love that guy. Or George Washington. Who is it that you're mimicking your life after? You say, well, I'm not mimicking my life after anybody. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You and I are programmed to do that. We talked a little bit about that last week. Now, Gideon, God is making a leader out of him. More, think about our young people today. I believe that our young people today are growing up in the most hostile age that Christianity may ever see in history past. I think the days that are ahead of us are very, very brutal days. And our kids are not running away. They're stepping up. Their faith is growing. They have valiant faith. They're bold. God bless them. Listen, Christian, you and I can always count on the Lord to be mighty in our lives. And he's doing it in Gideon's life, and he's going to do it in our life. Listen, you can rest because of this. Your faith, as Gideon's faith, will be honoring to God, and it will be real biblical faith. What a beautiful thing that is today, to have real biblical faith. Church, there's a lot of faith out there, but some of it's in some weird stuff. To have biblical faith, it had never failed you in life or death. And then you can know that you can live your life chapter by chapter, verse by verse, as you put your faith in the Word of God and lean upon Him, applying God's truth. I don't want to belabor this. You can mark it down in your margins there. But Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. I'll just paraphrase it. Read it later. Read it to your kids. Read it to your husband. Read it to your wife. Read it to yourself. What a great verse or portion of Scripture this is. In Joshua chapter 1, here's Joshua. God has called him to lead 2.5 million or more Jewish people, the children of Israel, over into the promised land. Moses is now dead. They're going to get ready to cross over the Jordan River from the Jordanian side of the river today over to the Israeli side, promised land side. And as they get ready to go, there's an amazing thing that takes place. Joshua must be having, I don't know if it's doubts, maybe that's too strong. He's having fears, certainly. And the Lord speaks to him and says, don't be afraid. Why did God say that to Joshua? Because he was afraid. When you hear words like, take courage, why does God say that to you? Because we have no courage. Peace, be peace, don't worry, be calm. Why? Because we're about ready to jump out of our seats.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Using Your Faith. It's taken from the last 8 verses of Judges chapter 6. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Currently, Pastor Jack is also teaching a series called Life and the Bible. Many parts of Scripture contain practical wisdom, tips, suggestions, certainly commands, on how to live, not just what to believe. Well, Pastor Jack takes us through them in this series, Life and the Bible. This week, for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Being a Christian at Your Job. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure and ask for Being a Christian at Your Job. It's part of the Life and the Bible series by Pastor Jack. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.